From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has been a friend of the station for a very long time. In fact, prepping for our interview, we discovered that her first album came out about the time I started working at Jefferson Public Radio. It's Maya Sharp. Hello, good to see you again.
Hi, it's so nice to see you, even if it has to be through the Zoom.
Yeah, and I don't mean to make you feel old, but it has been, gosh, 20 years.
Well, maybe
more
we started
than 20 years.
When we were nine. I mean,
we did.
You know, yeah, they don't know.
And you have not aged, though I have.
No, you have not. You look exactly the same.
The new record is called Mercy Rising. I think it's, what, your eighth full-length
yes,
record? Out
is.
On Crooked Crown. MayaSharp.com, the website to go to. Let's start by just talking about the last couple of years for you, because despite everyone who makes music struggling through the pandemic, mm-hmm. You have struggled maybe a little bit more than most, both in terms of the pandemic, the lack of performance opportunities, a tornado, divorce. Like, what? This has been a turbulent time for you. And how are you now?
I am doing well overall, but also kind of all of the ways, you know?
Yeah.
I'm everything. It's like, you know, sometimes it's a tougher road, and sometimes things are really going right, you know? Mm. And I am mostly validated for the choice to move here. So, okay, at the beginning of 2019, I moved from Los Angeles, and I had lived
in
California
my
whole
life.
Yeah. So I was born in Central California, Visalia, California, and my family moved to Los Angeles when I was five. So I was there for, okay, now I am going to expose my age. I lived in LA for about 40 years and had been traveling to Nashville probably for 20 of those, four or five times a year. I had a publishing deal here. There's a lot of reasons to come here. You know, first of all, there's some wonderful songwriters here. So there was definitely the pull of that. So I was coming pretty regularly. But it didn't feel like it could be home until just the last maybe two or three years ago. I was no longer married after 21 years.
Oh, my goodness.
We are still really, really close friends. And I think that's a part of why I'm okay really at all. Yeah. I mean, it was really important to me that we stayed in each other's lives, and really important to her also. And we are still there for each other, which is just, you know, kind of life-saving at this point. I tried to hit the ground running when I moved out here. I was working a lot. I was writing a lot. You know, it sounds like such a simple thing, but the geography of living in Nashville makes it easier to work more. I could do a one-off in a lot of places where I couldn't do that when I was living in Los Angeles, because everything required a flight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so much of my like radio support is like East Coast, you know, or the Midwest or Southeast. And I can actually reach those places now.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, like on the day of the show. So I was like, okay, so the end of 19, I feel very fortunate that I chose to make the album then, because I started it like early December of 2019 and finished it like middle of January. So the album was in the can before everything went to hell.
Yeah. So then March happens, everything shuts down, no more touring, no more Maya Sharp performing artist. Maya Sharp songwriter can still exist, though, but I would imagine the sort of demand for new material dries up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was, you know, freaking out, like, okay, what does this mean? You know, are we still making albums now? Are we on hold? How long are we on hold? But first, before that happened, and I think you touched on this earlier, a tornado came through my neighborhood, and my house was mostly fine. I had a little bit of damage, but like one block over to like six blocks over, that thing just wreaked havoc. It was brutal. So, you know, it knocked out, you know, electricity and Wi-Fi and all that stuff. So we were already on hold. And this is the first week in March. So this is right before we knew that the pandemic was really upon us. And now we know it was already here, but yeah. we weren't really aware of it yet. So that first week after the tornado, we're all going to like tornado relief shows and hugging it out. Mm-hmm. And everybody's packed in like sardines. Are you okay? Yeah, let me help you with the cleanup. How can I, I donate for those people who can't fix their houses? What? Anyway, a week later, I woke up with the virus.
Oh, man.
And it wasn't just me. There was a bunch of us at those shows. And that thing knocked me on my ass. It came with a side of pneumonia. And I was just on the couch and couldn't sing. I mean, I couldn't talk,
generally by yourself?
Sing. Yeah, I was alone.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. We're all kind of looking for the silver linings of this, right? My first silver lining is that I realized how strong of a community I already had here. Because there was like 8 or 10 friends that were totally there for me. That like went and got the prescription, which ended up probably not helping anything because it turned out to be COVID. But it was so early, we didn't know that it was COVID yet. It took 2 weeks to get the results.
Yeah.
So they had to kind of treat it like it was just a pneumonia, maybe from the cleanup of the tornado, or, there's a lot of crap in the air from the tornado. Maybe it's that. They bought my groceries. They brought me soup. I had a birthday during this. wah, wah. They brought me cake. They brought me, it was really sweet. And just to know that I have that. And I had one friend who insisted, she's like, if you decide that you have to go to the hospital, I don't care if you have a deadly virus, I am going to drive you to the hospital. And don't you dare not call me if you have to go to the hospital. I still kind of well up when I think about that. I'm like, oh my God, I knew that we were close, but anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah,
well,
it was proof.
I would love to hear how the voice and the lungs have bounced back from the bout with COVID and hear you sing us a song. Maya Sharp is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record came out May 7th. It's called Mercy Rising on Crooked Crown. What do you want to play first for us?
Why don't I kick things off with the title cut, Mercy Rising. I wrote this one with my buddy Mindy Smith, who is actually...
Oh, yeah.
One of those porch fairies for me. She went out and got me, the groceries and the prescription, and she was just there. Yeah, so here's one that I wrote with her, Mercy Rising. I've lived a revolution, every season come and gone. I'm looking to the sky, what's taken so long? I've been counting constellations, and I'm still waiting on mercy rising. Well, you slip between my fingers, but you never slip my heart. Some otherworldly pull won't let us drift apart. Yeah, if they were mine, I'd trade the sun, the moon, and all the stars for mercy rising. I'm due a hallelujah to roll through me tonight and blind me to my love for you so I can see the light. Mercy rising. Well, you can come to me in a whisper from a stranger on the street in a sun-kissed shadow. dancing at my feet in my windshield wipers, hitting the backside of the beat. I'm due a hallelujah to roll through me tonight and blind me to my love for you so I can see the light of mercy. Oh, don't look back, don't look down at the speed of light or the speed of sound. I'm due a hallelujah to roll through me tonight and blind me to my love for you so I can see the light. Mercy rising.
That is the title track from the new record of Maya Sharp. It's called Mercy Rising. It's out on Crooked Crown. You can find information at mayasharp.com. Thanks for playing. You sound great.
Well, thank you.
So one of the things that you have talked about in terms of the move and the differing environs between Los Angeles and Nashville is that much of your work kind of lands in that AAA Americana world. And you've mentioned that sort of the Los Angeles kind of environment is more about a writing style for film and TV placement. How does that differ? How does the AAA Americana thing not really mesh with that?
Well, sometimes it does. I mean, there are cases where I think it's usually when a song's already been out on an album that maybe qualified more as, you know, Americana or AAA or like indie pop, then it gets a placement. But to write specifically for film and TV, it's just a different lens. It's a different mindset. There are plenty of people who can go fluid, you know, through them. I never really found my way to be authentically me and do that well, you know, and I applaud people who do. And actually recently I have signed on with a film and TV licensing company, Gold Sounds, who are taking the album around to see if they can find a placement. So hopefully I'll eat the words that I just said and have a big fat placement.
What do you like better of the sort of two sides of your career? Like, do you like the slogging it out, driving around the country, playing shows yourself, or do you like the satisfaction of having written a great song that someone else records and turns into a hit? And you've had a fair bit of success on that side.
Well, there have been many times where I felt like I should really choose one or the other, and I never could, and I finally realized that they serve each other. They help each other out. There's been many opportunities that I received as a writer because I was on the road with an artist, and I ended up as the writer in the room with that artist, and then that song went on their album. There's been many opportunities as an artist that I got because I was a writer. The Bonnie Raitt songs, she heard those songs, and then I sat in with her, and then I was opening for her because now she wants me to be the artist with her, but I started out as the songwriter. So I finally learned I really have to do both, and I love them both so much that I'm pretty happy for the revelation. Like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I also have learned after all these years that it's important for me to miss the other one. Like, and like how long I can do one before I really start to miss the other one. And then I kind of have a new fire for the other one, you know?
So the songwriting stuff, obviously there are some tremendous highs. There are lows, and the highs are maybe obvious, right? Like someone big name records a song, it becomes a hit, everything's great. What are the lows? Just silence, like no interest? Is that the feeling of just being gutted that you worked so hard on something and put it out and then nobody thought it was worth their time and energy?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not receiving a response at all is, you know, really probably the most common heartbreak among any artist who puts out their work, and it's just like,
yeah,
you know, that's but then like you the can always thing. Just
record them yourself, though. How handy.
Yeah, right, which is kind of how I started down this artist path in the first place. I loved to write songs, and I realized, okay, this is what I want to do. And then I realized, I don't think I'm going to get somebody to record every single thing that I write. So I'm going to have to figure out how to get them out there myself. So I was a writer first, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to have to learn how to make my own albums too. The other kind of next level of the heartbreak, although it's easier to find a silver lining in this, is when somebody says that they love it and they're going to record it, and they even sometimes do record it, and then it doesn't clear those final hurdles. The freaking Eagles recorded one of my songs.
Oh, man.
I wrote a song with Kevin Savagar and Timothy B. Schmidt, and it was going to be Timothy's song on the record.
Wow.
And it sounded great, and, you know, I talked to Kevin, and he was so excited, and I think he even got to stop by the studio and was just like, this is happening. and then it wasn't. And until it's like in stores, it's not official. So there's those heartbreaks too. I'm not sure which is worse, because at least then, you know, you got the thrill of thinking you had an Eagles cut for a while. Yeah, it's not just the silence, but I don't know.
My guest today is Maya Sharp. Her new record is called Mercy Rising. Information is at her website, mayasharp.com. Will you play us another tune?
I will. How about, this is the very last track on it. It's called Always Good to See You. There's a podcast called Songwriter. Ben Arthur is the creator and host, and he called and asked if I wanted to be on it, and he told me what the format was, and I was like, heck yeah. So they get a storyteller to tell a story, usually an author, and a songwriter to write a song in response to the story. And he asked me who I might want to be my author storyteller, and I said, well... And I had like a very short list of people, and Cheryl Strayed was at the very top of that. And he actually got her.
Nice.
And she read a piece from her book, Tiny Beautiful Things, which is a book that had been like on my side table in my room for that whole first year that I moved. Because there's all these little nuggets in there that are... you know, validating their, I don't know, they just made me feel like I wasn't alone in some of this stuff. Like there was definitely times, especially in that first year, where I thought like, am I crazy? What am I doing? How did I think that I could make these just giant shifts now when I was so embedded in so many parts of my life in Los Angeles? So there's just some moments in the book that I would read and reread that were very helpful. So I asked for Cheryl, and she read a piece from that book called The Ordinary Miraculous, and I wrote this song in response.
Fantastic. This is Maya Sharp on JPR Live Sessions.
I smooth my hands across the velvet, and a ripple in time starts rolling. Couldn't know when that wave would break. A song on the radio, a rerun of your favorite show, my own reflection making that expression you'd make. When I hear myself say what I wish that I'd said then, when I find a little meaning in the mess, I am still amazed at your ways of checking in, cardinal on a wire yard sale dress. It's always good to see you. It's always good to see you. I wanna catch it when you come to me. Oh, I know it can just be the moment, but sometimes it's the long game reveal. And the ripple tends to find a shore if I know what I'm watching for. The ordinary becomes a very big deal when I hear myself say what I wish that I'd said then. When I find a little meaning in the mess, I am still amazed at your ways of checking in. A cardinal on a wire yard sale dress, it's always good to see you. It's always good to see you. And it always breaks my heart, and it makes my day. It's good to see you. I wish that you could stay. I guess you do. Hear myself say what I wish that I'd said then. When I find a little meaning in the mess, I am still amazed at your ways of checking in. A cardinal on a wire yard sale dress, it's always good to see you. It's always good to see you. It's always good to see you.
Always Good to See You is the name of that one. It's from the new record called Mercy Rising of Maya Sharp. My guest today on JPR Live Sessions from Afar, joining me from her new home in Nashville. Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Mm. Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, it's
really
a pleasure.
Nice to see you.
So, Mercy Rising, much has been talked about and written about the songs on this record and maybe the meaning behind the songs on this record. The thing that I hear is sort of a moderate level of chippiness. Like just, I mean, not full-fledged frustration or any serious anger or any, you know, thing like that. It's just sort of a little bit of...
Yeah.
Chippiness. Like there's a mild amount of snarkiness in the observations in the songs.
Well, thank you.
Is that kind of the environment you were in at the time? Because this album was written and tracked prior to pandemic, but around the time of all of the personal life of people.
Yeah, that was definitely happening. Particularly the title cut, Mercy Rising, is just like, come on. I've changed everything. I needed a shift. As far as I know, I've done all of the shifting that one human, you know, can possibly do. Where is the shift and the return? Like, like, when are the things that I need to change going to change for me that I can't personally change? Yeah, there was a little bit of a frustration, and frustration tends to translate into snark for me. So,
so now,
thanks for hearing that.
So now, you know, here we are a year and a half, give or take, year and a half later, and we've now been through all of the chaos of the last year and a half of the pandemic and its influence on the music world. And you've been through a tornado in your neighborhood. Are you more ensconced in that place now, or do you now look at this record as a time capsule of before?
Absolutely the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I am so glad that I got this out, and I'm very proud of how I did that, you know, sonically. but no, I'm... Most of those things are things I'm not personally feeling
good
now.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You said in an interview that when you first started making records, you weren't super concerned with writing songs that were absolutely true and drawn from actual events, but that lately your songwriting has shifted in a way that songs kind of need to be real, and the power in them is sharing something that has actually happened to you. Mm-hmm. How does that apply for the songs you write that you intend others to then record, though?
Right. Yes, okay.
Because it's not their reality, it's yours.
Well, if you really do your job and tell a personal story, there's often a universal truth in there too. And early on, every time I tried to write specifically for another artist, it failed miserably. If I wrote a song that I felt a connection to, they were more likely to feel a connection to it also. I think it still took me a little while for this new approach to really sink in. Like, no, writing true things is not only important for the writer, but there are listeners out there that feel that this is a true thing. Mm. And no experience is completely unique. Like, if something happened to me, it's happened to a lot of people too, yeah. who might need to hear about that. And that this album, I don't know that I've ever felt this, helped out by just getting it out.
Yeah.
And now that it's out there, I can like look at it. I can listen to it. It's not just this kind of swirl inside of me anymore. It's like a third party thing. And it's just, it's so helpful. And I can't imagine ever just kind of going back to something I made up, you know? Mm.
I have long admired your work. This new record is equally beautiful, and I'm really glad we had a chance to catch up.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Maya Sharp is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Mercy Rising. She's joining me from her home in Nashville. Will you share one more tune?
How about the single, Backburner? Oh, cool. Are you
Fantastic.
Feeling that?
Yeah.
My Roscoe and Etta duo partner, Anna Schulze, and I wrote this one.
And just for full disclosure, the Roscoe and Etta is what exactly?
Oh, sorry. So since my last solo album came out in 2017, I have been a part of a duo, Roscoe and Etta. Neither one of us are Roscoe or Etta, but the acoustic guitar and the electric guitar that we use to write the songs are named that because I can't help myself and I have to name all of my instruments. So Anna and I made a record in 2018, self-titled, and an EP in early 2019. And We just kept on writing also. So this one was written after those. And like the song says, it did not want to be kept on the back burner anymore.
Cool.
So, yeah. And, it was kind of born out of a conversation of how well we can each compartmentalize our lives. Like, I don't want to look at that now and just kind of put it away. And how eventually that thing will get out of the compartment and you're going to have to deal with it. So that's what the song's about, Backburner.
Cool. And are you playing it for us on Roscoe or Etta or another guitar?
Oh, another guitar. Right. Yeah, Roscoe is cranky old F-hole acoustic from the 50s. Etta is electric and takes about an hour to tune. Once she's in tune, she's awesome, but you probably don't want to put up with that.
What's that one called?
This is Johnny.
Johnny. All right.
Yeah.
It's Maya Sharp and Johnny on JPR Live Sessions.
2, 3. I tried to put you on the back burner, let you simmer on low. While I tended to the party and the overflow, so you wouldn't boil over, I'd give a little stir, maybe take a little taste just to make sure. It's a hell of a way to say, turn the flame up higher. When I put you on the back burner, you set the place on fire. Oh, the party got awkward. I hope I didn't let them down. But I just couldn't keep my cool with you dancing around. And there's still champagne and I still want you. And maybe I was hoping this is what you do. It's a hell of a way to say, turn the flame up higher. When I put you on the back burner, you set the place on fire. On fire. Corner of my eye, the edge of my mind, couldn't hold you anymore. A little patience, a little time is all I was asking for. I had a dream that you waited for me, but like a lot of dreams go, I woke up in the ash of the afterglow. It's a hell of a way to pay for my desire. And it's a hell of a way to say, turn the flame up higher. Oh, I try to put you on the back burner. I try to put you on the back burner. But when I put you on the back burner, you set the place on fire. On fire, you set the place on fire.
That one's called Back Burner. It's music from Maya Sharp from the new record called Mercy Rising, my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Information can be found online at mayasharp.com. Maya, thanks again for catching up. It's great to see you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Eric.